Today's lesson is titled, The Enemy Fixer. And I'm sure some of you have got some folks that you want to fix. Now, some of you think that somebody's got you fixed. Said, no, Reverend Ike, I don't believe in all of that superstition. Yes, some of you who don't believe in that kind of superstition, you're believing that you're star-crossed. Well, we're going to get rid of all of this enemy business and all of this opposition business right now with this lesson, which I call The Enemy Fixer, How to Stop Enemies and Opposition. There are two texts which we're going to read at this time. From the lips of Jesus, St. Matthew, the 10th chapter and the 36th verse. These are the words of Jesus. St. Matthew 10:36. I'm going to read and I'm going to have you repeat it after me as I shall read. A man's foes shall be
of his own house.
Now let's stop here for a moment. What is a man's house? A man's house is his mind. So say with me, my house is my mind.
My house is my mind.
Now, I know that's a revelation to some of you. Some of you think that your house is at 1020 Walton Avenue. I mean, even the physical house that you live in, I've got news for you. The material house that you live in is really in your mind. The house that you live in is in you. With that in mind, let's transliterate the words of Jesus. A man's enemies are in his own mind. Oh, quiet. I want to say that again for emphasis and have you shout it back at me. A man's enemies are in his own mind. Oh, but that's wonderful. You know why that's wonderful? Now that you know that they're all in your own mind, you can kill them, everyone. Amen. You've got them. Let me hear you say, I've got them.
I've got them.
And you see, when you learn that you've got them, then you can unget them. Well, we're going to tell you what we mean by that as we shall go on. From the pen of St. Paul to the Colossians, in the first chapter, in the 21st verse of his epistle, we read, You were enemies in your mind.
By wicked works.
You may be seated. I'm going to start right out telling you how to get rid of enemies and how to get rid of opposition. And in this world, from time to time, it may seem that people and things come to oppose us. And I catch myself dealing with that from time to time. I was having a satellite dish put up on one of our buildings in a certain seashore area. And it cost a number of thousands of dollars to do it, but the thing just wasn't working right. And the people wanted the rest of their money before the thing. Seems like they wanted their money before they finished installing it. And of course, I told my people, don't pay them the rest of it until it works. And we were about to get in a tug of war with that issue. And you know, in life from time to time, every day there are opportunities to get in little oppositional circumstances with people and things. Is that right? Oh, but we're going to fix that today. And so as this scenario was about to get a little rough, I prayed, and here's what the Spirit told me. Stop adversarial, oppositional thinking and feeling. Most of us are in the habit of letting oppositional, adversarial thinking and feeling run away with us at will. Get that set of tapes by Reverend Ike. Tell your feelings how to feel. Tell your mind what to think. Tell your body how to react. Stop and think for a moment. How do you think and how do you feel when you observe that somebody or something seem to be working against you? Usually, the mind begins to think adversarial thoughts, oppositional thoughts. Usually, the feeling nature begins to feel oppositional feeling, adversarial feeling. And I mean, you know, the thinking and the feeling can really go to work. Oh, no, that old so-and-so is trying to do this to me. Those old so-and-sos are trying to do that to me. And so adversarial thinking and feeling comes into play. And if you permit adversarial thinking and oppositional thinking and feeling to just run away with you at every opportunity when you face a challenge, you're going to create a lot of opposition and a lot of enemies. So the first thing you're going to have to do is become aware and stop adversarial, oppositional thinking and feeling. Break this nasty habit. Say that.
Break this nasty habit.
Say it again.
Break this nasty habit.
For the third time, say it.
Break this nasty habit.
And it is a habit. Only you can put yourself in mental position to experience enmity or friendship, harmony or opposition. Nobody can be your enemy without your permission. What a mind blower. You cannot be my enemy unless I give you the permission. It doesn't matter what you say, what you think, or what you do. If I don't give you the permission to be my enemy, you cannot be my enemy. Now, this is what I mean by killing your enemy. When you realize that, that kills the idea of enemies in opposition. I'm not talking about killing people. I want you to say this to yourself. This is so important because right here and right now is where you're going to drop every enemy right now, right in their tracks. I want you to say this to yourself. I want you to preach this to yourself. And our sermons and classes are a bit different here, because you helped me to preach these, and we're really each one preaching to himself. You never get one of these lessons unless I have first taught it to myself. You never get a sermon from me unless I have first preached it to myself. And make no mistake about it, before I get here to preach a sermon, I've preached it to myself over and over. And after I leave here, I'm preaching it to myself. And I say, now you live by it, or don't you go and preach it to anybody else anymore.
Ministers and practitioners, you have no business preaching to other folks something that you have not preached to yourself and that you are willing to practice yourself. And you're going to have to prove it when challenges come. Anything that doesn't stand the test, what good is it?
Here's the statement.
No one can be my enemy without my personal permission. Shout it.
No one can be my enemy without my personal permission.
Now, I want you to engrave this on your mind. I want you to touch yourself with your thumb so that that subconscious self will know I'm talking to you. Now, three times we are going to shout it. We are going to preach it. No one can be my enemy without my personal permission. Let's hear it.
No one can be my enemy without my personal permission. Again.
No one can be my enemy without my personal permission. No one can be my enemy without my personal permission.
Now let me tell you something about this. It's a repeat that you've heard several times during this series, but it's worth repeating a million times. I have never forgotten some almost 20 years ago. In Boston, Massachusetts, a man came to me and said, Reverend Ike, I've been having bad luck ever since that old evil woman, my enemy, put a curse on me. And this man was crying, tears washing his face. He was trembling. He had become a sickly man. He had troubles in his home. His money had dried up. Ain't that trouble? Couldn't hold no money and couldn't get none to hold. And he stood there before me just like a whipped dog. And you know, it's an interesting thing. I, for some reason or the other, have always felt that the God in me has and is the answer to every problem. Always thought that. Always felt that. And this is why I deal with people, and I love to deal with people, and I love to help people to overcome their problems and their situations. And so right away, the Holy Spirit gave me the answer. Told me what to say. Listen, you know, if you stay in contact with the Spirit, it will give you the answer you need right on the spot.
I had to say something to this man. He was a sick man. Sick in his spirit, sick in his mind, sick in his body, sick in his pocketbook. Here was a man that was whipped and beaten by circumstances. What am I going to tell him? And out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit spoke. And I said to him, Brother, if you want to get rid of that curse, all you have to do is withdraw the permission. As I said, if you've got an enemy, if you've got anything working against you, it can only work against you with your permission. And I explained that to him. I said, that woman can only hex you, fix you, curse you, and be your enemy as long as you give the permission. And so when you get ready to get rid of that curse, when you get ready to get rid of that enemy, you just withdraw the permission. I looked into his face and I saw the tears beginning to dry. And I saw his countenance changing. And he began to wipe his eyes. And he began to straighten up and he began to smile. And I could see the truth breaking in upon his conscience. And he stood on his heels and he took his lungs full of air. And he shouted to the top of his voice, "Right now, I withdraw the permission." And the next thing, out of his belly began to flow rivers of living water, and he began to speak in Pentecostal tongues. He experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that with fire standing right there in that spot. And he began to speak with other tongues and to glorify God. And he was set free standing right there on that spot. From that moment, not only his heart changed, his mind changed, but even his money changed. Money began to flow into his life. He got well in his body. And I know because he started giving his tithes and offerings and he got so many unexpected financial blessings. But there was that point in his life where he had to realize that nobody could hurt him or be his enemy without his permission. And the moment that he spoke the word and said, "Right now, I withdraw the permission," that killed that enemy idea. This is what Jesus meant when he said to the disciples, and it's the truth of you too, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." God has given you the power. And you can take that power and give it to an enemy if you want to. You see, the power that an enemy hurts you with, it's your power that you gave them. Oh, isn't that something to think about? Say with me, nobody can hurt me unless I give them my God power.
Nobody can hurt me unless I give them my God power.
And what is your God power? Your God power is your power of thought. It's your power of belief. As we said in the prayer service in the lesson on Friday night, Jesus preached here on this earth, and really all that he ever preached and all that he ever did could be summed up in one word: believe. Let me hear you say believe.
Believe.
And every side that he turned, he said what? Believe. If you want to be saved, what do you do?
Believe.
If you want to be delivered, what do you do?
Believe.
If you want your sins forgiven, what do you do?
Believe.
If you want to be healed in your spirit, mind, and body, what must you do?
Believe.
You see, the preachers and the denominations argue about this doctrine, that doctrine, and the other doctrine. They're all on television cussing each other out, disputing each other. When all Jesus ever said, all you have to do is what?
Believe.
Oh, I'm so glad I know that. And this belief, this power of belief, is the God power which you've been given. And if you give your power of belief so that you believe that somebody is hurting you, so that you believe that something has the power to hurt you, it is your power of belief that you have given that person or that thing. And they can hurt you with it. But it is only with your permission. Now, we are going to have an enemy-fixing ritual in just a couple of moments, but I want to go through the rest of this lesson with you briefly. We're going to settle this issue forever. But let me hear you say, I've got the power.
I've got the power.
The God-given power.
The God-given power.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
All right, be seated. If God be for us, who can be against us? If our belief is in our favor, if our thinking is in our favor, nothing can be against us. You need to start asking yourself, am I believing in my favor? Say that.
Am I believing in my favor?
You know, people always ask the question, like, I wonder what's going to happen to me this year. I can tell your fortune right now. And not only can I tell your fortune, in 2 seconds, I can tell you how to tell your own fortune. You ready? You want to know what's going to happen to you? What do you believe is going to happen? Answer that question. That's your fortune. That's what's got you fixed. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Listen to what he says to you today. He says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You folks sitting over here for special attention in the special healing section, I can tell you what's going to happen to you. What do you believe is going to happen to you? You believe you're going to die? Then don't waste my time. There's some undertaker parlor starting a few blocks from this church. Go turn yourself in. Don't waste any more time. Don't bother to go back home. I mean, let's get it or quit it. Let me hear you say, get it or quit it. Hear Jesus again, repeat it after me, according to your faith. So be it unto you. And so folks are going around to fortune tellers. You see, I just saved you a whole lot of money. Some of you ask, well, I wonder if I'm going to be successful. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. What do you believe? Are you thinking in your favor? In fact, in truth, only your belief can be your friend or be your enemy. If you think against yourself, then people will come against you to confirm your belief. Listen to this. Nobody or no thing can relate to you apart from your belief system. Every person that appears to be your enemy is your belief become flesh. That devil that you work with is the devil in your mind. Oh, Lord. What does the scripture say? You were enemies in your mind by wicked works. Go to the tea leaf reader. I can read your tea leaves right now. And I'm doing it. I'm reading your tea leaves right now. Am I going to be prosperous? What do you believe? Do I have enemies? What do you believe? Is somebody doing something to me? Yes, somebody's doing something to you. And I can tell you exactly who's doing something to you. Go home and look in the mirror. If you can't wait, borrow somebody's compact. Anybody got a mirror in your pocketbook? And every time you look in the mirror, you see the one that's doing it to you. That's why the Bible gives us the one formula for change, which is what? Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've got a secret for you. The way you get rid of enemies is quit dealing with them altogether. You don't need to deal with those SOBs. You only need to deal with one SOB. I mean yourself. I'm the SOB that I need to deal with. I dare you to pray like that. Come on, say it. I'm the SOB that I need to deal with.
And there are people sitting in here right now. You've been going to fortune tellers to find out who your enemy is. I just told you. You get rid of your enemies by leaving them alone. They are not the one. If you deal with yourself correctly, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you see, when you change, it won't matter whether they change or not. Won't matter. It'll be just like that old cowboy song that Gene Autry used to sing. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. None of you kids remember that, do you? Before your time, back in the 40s. Let me hear you say,
I don't worry,
'cause it makes no difference now. And you see, when you get your heart right, when you get your mind right, when you get born again, when you become a new creature in Christ, you're not worried about your astrological aspects. Every man, every mind creates his own enemies or friends, helpers or opponents by his thinking and feeling. As a man thinks, as a mind thinks, so is he. Practice thinking divine love. Practice thinking harmony and symphony about yourself, everyone, and everything. You know what the Spirit told me to do? With the people that you had problems with that seemed to have been unfair with you in some way, make projects out of those people and pour divine love on them. I mean, just literally get a picture of divine love pouring out of your heart upon these people. Divine love. That will kill an enemy. One thing an enemy can't stand, and that is divine love. And you see, that will kill the enemy and make a friend. Make a special project out of those persons you've been having problems with and see them at their highest manifestation. See them with their highest good. I dare you to do it. They could not remain your enemy because you will have the enemy out of you. No one, no thing can oppose me or be my enemy unless I oppose myself. You see, you oppose yourself when you think negatively, when you believe negatively. Unless I be my own enemy in my mind by oppositional, adversarial thinking and feeling, no one or no thing can be my enemy. The next statement, and I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Opposition and enemies begin and end in the mind. Let's hear it.
Opposition and
as a matter of fact, everything began and ended in the mind. This is what Jesus meant. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end. Say that.
I am the beginning and the end.
Only I may franchise my enemies, and therefore I may revoke the franchise. What's a franchise? It's a special privilege granted to an individual or group. The right or license granted to an individual or group to market a company's goods or services. Every enemy or opposition carry your license. Stop franchising and licensing enemies in opposition. Let's do the enemy fixing ritual as we end this lesson. Think about this statement now. And repeat it after me. Every enemy
carry your license.
Now I'm going to make it personal. You see, if I have an enemy, that enemy carries my license that I gave him. Ain't that something to think about? Here's somebody laughing over there. Now, it's a knowing laugh. All right, right here, right now, we're going to do what that man in Boston did some 20 years ago. We're going to take back enemy license that we have issued. And I'm going to ask you the question, who have you issued enemy license to? Boy, some of you have issued a lot of them. If you have a clash or run in with somebody, don't be so fast to issue them an enemy license. Some people will go on a new job. And before the day is over, they have issued out enemy license. Oh, I know I'm going to have trouble with her. Uh-oh. What have you done? You have issued enemy license. And then you wonder why you catch hell from that person. You issued the license. I'm going to ask for confessions. How many of you have encountered somebody, perhaps for the first time? You've gone maybe to a new place and a new situation, and you had a clash of some kind with somebody, and you said, I know I'm going to have trouble with her. I know I'm going to have trouble with him. Let's have confessions. Let's see the hand. Put them up, you sinners! You're not going to do that anymore, are you? Because right there on the spot, you have granted a franchise to that person. You have said, okay, I give you permission to do me in. I give you permission to give me hell. I give you permission to get on my nerve. Uh-oh. I got a whole lot of folks that time. People were saying, oh, Reverend, I ain't got no enemies. I'm saved. Yeah, but they sure get on your nerve, don't they? They work your nerve, don't they? All right, I'm going to push it a little further. When folks get on your nerve, you've given them the permission to get on your nerve. And I catch myself now, every time I catch somebody or something about to get on my nerve, I say, oh, I am not going to let you get on my nerve. These are my nerve. I don't want you on my nerve. See, you have to understand your dominion. Oh, I helped a whole lot of people here already. How many of you, let me ask you this up the question, you're tired of folks getting on your nerve? All right, we just fixed that. So, you know, did you just say that? Say it to yourself. You don't have to tell them. Say it to yourself. You tell them, they might knock your head off. All right, let's fix that first. So repeat after me. These are my nerves.
These are my nerves.
I don't want my nerves worked.
I don't want my nerves worked.
And my nerves belong to me.
And my nerves belong to me.
This is holy ground.
This is holy ground.
I put up a sign on my nerves right now.
I put up a sign on my nerves right now.
No trespassing.
No trespassing.
I fence in my nerve with the love of God.
I fence in my nerves with the love of God.
With the power of God.
With the power of God.
From this moment on.
From this moment on.
Nothing can get on my nerves. Unless I let them. Now I don't want you on my nerves. Let me tell you something, people. That will save your spirit, your mind, and body from a lot of hassle. You know, a lot of people's bodies get all broken down with disease. Why? Because over the years, they let so many people and things just get on their nerve. Amen. And you see, the more you let people and things get on your nerve, the worse your nerves get. Oh, come on, talk back to me here.
Yes.
And after a while, it'll be so that the least little thing will get on your nerve. And then you'll go flying off the handle. Well, let me give you, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You can't afford that. You don't have enough mind. You don't have enough mind to go around giving away pieces of it. That's why you're so crazy now. You didn't... You're so quick to put your hand on your hip and let your backbone slip and give away pieces of your mind. You'd better use your power of permission and learn to permit what you want and not permit what you don't want. And that's what I tell myself. And you know, you better learn how to look at an aggravating situation and just look at it and not let it move. And I talk to myself sometimes, and I look at a situation, or maybe you'll hear something somebody say, but you just step back. Just step back into your divine dominion. And look at that booger. And I said to it, I said, now listen, I said, you know, I could let you get on my nerves if I wanted to. Think about all those things that's been working your nerves. You're going to put them under your feet. Or repeat after me. Now, I could let you get on my nerve if I wanted to. But I don't want you on my nerve. I could let you aggravate me if you wanted to. But I don't want you aggravating me. And so I'm not going to let you. I have the victory over you. Thank God. Now you see, you better learn how to do that. Learn how to step back from those things. Look at them and don't give them any power. I mean, if you want to be upset, there are plenty of things in this world that keep you upset. All you have to do is just turn on the television, look at 11 o'clock news. Got it so good that they have it going all night long. You can see all the terrible things going on. Now we're going to get rid of all this enemy business right now. We're going to fix enemies right now. We're not going to have one enemy left. If you do, you can look in the mirror and fix that when you get home. Talk to that sucker. Look him or her right in the eye. Say, now listen here. I talk to myself. Sometimes I say to myself, I said, now you know better than that. Let me hear you say it. Now you know better than that. My friend, Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker, has an interesting book titled, What You Think About Me Is None of My Business. Just like that man in Boston withdrew the permission from every enemy, we're going to do that right now. So we're going to do this ritual. All right, I want you to say this right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
And forevermore.
And forevermore.
I am fixing this enemy business.
I am fixing this enemy business.
I don't want any enemies.
I don't want any enemies.
And I'm not going to give anybody the privilege to be my enemy.
And I'm not giving anybody the privilege to be my enemy.
And to all of those that I may have permitted.
And to all that I may have permitted.
To be my enemy. I'm taking my license back. From you right now.
I'm taking my license back from you right now.
Let me put a parenthesis in here just before we continue this ritual. You know, whatever you call something, it will be that. The Bible says that after God created all the animals, God brought them to Adam and said, Adam, now here are all the animals. He says, whatever you call them, they'll be that. So that's his name. Along came something that said, oink, oink, oink. Adam said, that's a pig. And it's been a pig ever since. Along came another animal that said, bow, wow, wow. Adam said, you're a dog. And it's been a dog ever since. The same way with the people and the things in your life. If you give anybody the name of enemy, you have given them the license. You have given them the franchise. You have given them your power to be your enemy. A man never meets any enemy but his own power turned back against him. Reverend, where do I get this power? You get it from God. You see, that's the interesting thing. People don't understand how powerful they are. You see, God has given to every man, to every mind, all the power in heaven and in earth. God has given you his power. And I'm not going to give it to anybody to use against me. Say that.
And I'm not going to give it to anybody to use against me.
And nobody has any power against you unless you give it to them to use against you. I remember when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulled out his sword, chopped off the ear of the high priest's servant, and Jesus said, put up your sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. You see, if you live believing you've got enemies, you'll die by your enemies. Jesus looked the soldiers right in the eyes and said, you could have no power against me except it was given you. I've got a God in me. I've got God power in me. You can only do to me what I let you do. So we're going to close this by saying to everybody and everything that seemed to have been our enemy, just what the man in Boston years ago said. Repeat it after me right now.
Right now.
I withdraw the permission.
I withdraw the permission.
From every enemy.
From every enemy.
I call in my credentials.
I call in my credentials.
From every enemy.
I withdraw the permission.
And I'm issuing new credentials.
New franchises.
Right now.
I give every man
the privilege
to be my friend.
As you go forth into the world today, say silently to everybody you meet, I give you the privilege to be my friend.